big rocks and all that sort of thing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, readers and others.
Writers.
No, we don't want that.
Responders.
First responders, or the group I tend to frequent, the last responders.
Yeah.
We arrive last.
Those barely alive.
We arrive last. We got the dirty job.
Why are you touching that again?
I think you should explain to the readers.
Yeah, we've just been. I've been here for about 3 hours while you tried. Finally worked out your microphone was faulty.
Well, because I'm looking at the levels and I'm still a little low. And
well, yeah, I think that's how people like it, though. We've ascertained that over the years, haven't we?
Have we, though?
Yeah, I think we have.
Right, so John. Has come up with a great idea.
A brilliant idea.
A brilliant idea to do a whole pod about... is this sign language? He's pointing at the mic. What am I doing? What?
Just throwing you off, just testing.
Well, it worked.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, we're gonna do a whole podcast based on one thing. We used to do this in the old days, you know.
Yeah, we did. We used to talk about one person. And I said to you, I'll tell you who we should talk about because I've just seen this thing on Twitter.
Yes.
We should talk about Bruce Dickinson.
Yes. Oh, now I know why you were pointing at the microphone.
Oh, finally. Come back to the...
Yes, because let's not forget our friends. Very seamless transition there. Let's not forget our friends.
Shall we start this again?
No. Bayer Dynamic. We love Bayer Dynamic.
We do. They're excellent.
They fucking rock.
They'll rock your world. They produce microphones that you can sing on.
It's
funny. That's my favourite thing. That's my favourite thing about the microphones.
Well, it's not just your favourite thing, John, because I'm here. Little did you know, but tonight, John Harton. I've lost it now. Where is it? Hang on. Here we go. Yes. One of our readers, long-standing. If we had a gold membership,
yeah, which
he'd
we
be
would,
in it.
Which, believe me, it's coming.
He'd be in it. His name is Malcolm Parry. He's a bloody diamond, and he sent a message this morning. Actually, John.
Well done, Malcolm. Good man.
Yeah, you'll enjoy this. It goes, "Hi, Mick. I enjoyed reading your pieces on Dio and Maiden in the New Classic Rock." Yeah, that's right. It goes, "That's my essential listening for the morning." Listening?
Yeah.
Okay. "Looking forward to the next episode of the pod and the legendary John James Hotton as well." This is what he says. "I'm not gay, but what a voice." I love that.
Does this really say that?
I'll show you.
No,
look.
You don't have to show. I'm no.
Hi, Mick. I enjoyed reading your pieces on Dio.
Yeah, we
and
don't
Maiden.
Need that bit again.
No,
that's
no,
you
I think
just
we need
self-aggrandizing.
No.
Was that? Can I just ask? Was that the 500-word thing on Dio that you had to do that had taken you about 6 months? And that
I needed I needed AI to help me with that. Yes. Possibly. You know, I'm leaving that one open. But it says here, "Looking forward to the next episode of you and the legend." Is this a mate of yours? Well, no. Mate, you know. The legendary, it should be Johnny, shouldn't it? The legendary Johnny James Hotton. "I'm not gay, but what a voice."
Yeah, you see.
You're all, he's all
I'm
gritty.
All pleased. I'm all puffed up.
Well, I hope you fucking keep that one to yourself, mate. I don't want to hear about how puffed up you are, but maybe Malcolm does. Why don't I leave you boys alone?
Well, it's just I just put it down to the the microphone technique that you're also always so disparaging.
Well, you've got
of.
Your Beyer Dynamic.
I've got that now.
You've got the Beyer Dynamic.
I've not always had it, have
I? Give us a burst.
No.
No, oh, we to have natural. To beg.
It has to be natural. It has to come out of me naturally.
Okay.
Like spring water.
Okay. All right, I'll leave the rest for our... We're going to do a more of a newsy roundup on the next pod. But for today, at John's earnest request, we're going to focus on one major artist and a particular favourite.
Well, it was
of
because
yours,
he John. Because he had cropped up twice in two different spheres in the course of 2 days or whatever it was. Because
who are we talking about?
We're talking about Bruce Dickinson,
the legendary,
previously announced. Can I say we're not talking about the bloke who was in Little Angels?
Although that's Bruce John.
Bruce John Dickinson. Although he's now can't call himself John because I've got.
Oh, I see.
So he's Bruce Dickinson as well.
Right, okay.
But we're talking about the other Bruce Dickinson, who's the singer in Iron Maiden.
I think we know which one we're talking about. Yeah.
And he was on Sky News, and it got immediately clipped up and put onto Twitter, as anything ever to do with Brexit does. If you like this, like me saying the word Brexit, that will now be on Twitter, I can guarantee you. With half of Twitter going, oh, you know, you idiot, you know, Ramona. And the other, which is your constituents, obviously GB News, you told me you've been on again this morning.
Well, do you know, it's funny you should mention it. I wasn't going to bring it up, but I was on breakfast television this morning with that nationally famous figure, that doyen of breakfast television, Eamon Holmes.
Yeah.
See, me and Eamon go back.
Yeah.
We go back. Yeah. To his days on the radio.
Yeah. Was this another one of those GB news shows that gets officially zero viewers?
You know? No.
The viewership is so low.
No.
That it actually can't be measured.
Well, here's what can't be measured. The huge spike they get every time I'm on there.
Because you're on there, obviously you're on there talking about Brexit.
No, I'm not on there talking. I'm not Bruce Dickinson. I don't talk about Brexit. No, I was on talking about last night's Grammys.
Oh, the Grammy Awards.
And the question, the debate was again me against another woman.
Grab a Grammy, you were talking about.
And and the debate was, do awards ceremonies still mean anything?
Well, given that I didn't even know they were on, they're not, no.
You know. But then you never knew they were on, did you?
Well, I knew they were on the year that Metallica were lost to Jethro Tull, which is the only thing anyone in heavy metal ever remembers about the Grammys.
Which is, what, was that 1988?
I have to say it was some years
Many
ago.
Many readers weren't even born when that happened, John.
Oh, I think they were.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Anyway, that's just an aside.
Just an aside that you were on GB News.
Bruce Dickinson. I'm not gay.
Bruce Dickinson.
But I think his voice is almost as good as yours.
Yeah, but you see, Bruce Dickinson was using his famous voice to go on Sky News and talk about Brexit. Specifically, he wanted to say that Brexit had ruined the music industry because ever since we left, it's the visa situation is so, and the tax situation is so complicated.
It keeps me up at night.
It will do. Okay. So you get offered a gig. I mean, it's impossible.
Yeah. But
were you to be offered a gig?
Hang on,
be
what's
it
going
now.
On? It's all binging and
that'll
dinging.
That'll be it now.
The dogs are making a noise.
That'll be it now. The offer to get to take the Mick Wall Monsters of Cock Show, whatever it is, to Luxembourg.
Oh, really? Luxembourg? Why Luxembourg?
It's in Europe.
I'm big in Germany.
You'd have to turn it. Well, you would have to turn down Germany. So Bruce Dickinson goes on Sky News and he says, well, of course, it's very well known that I voted for Brexit, but I didn't vote for this.
Vote for what, John?
Well, exactly. This is the, I refer to it as the Farage defence. I voted for Brexit, but not this Brexit. It's the wrong Brexit.
The wrong Brexit.
It's not the Brexit that I wanted.
Which Brexit do you think Bruce wanted?
I wanted the Number of the Beast Brexit, but I got the X Factor Brexit.
You got the Peace of Mind.
Yeah, I got the Peace of Mind with the Seventh
brain,
Son Brexit.
Tiny brain Brexit.
So Dickinson, and It was not for me to say he looked completely foolish.
No.
But he looked completely foolish. And it was on Twitter. So, but that,
not just looks, sounded.
That then aligned to something you had messaged me with. I get an email from Mick Wall.
Yes.
It says urgent. So obviously
you must
immediately
see this. You immediately thought, I'll look at that later if I remember.
Stop everything I'm doing to look at this email.
Yeah, but what exactly were you doing? Watching the cricket on the telly?
Probably.
England versus India in Islamabad. Somewhere.
Islamabad's in Pakistan, you dope.
Well, who knows in this internet age? Yeah. Maybe it was virtual metal cricket.
You mean places aren't where they used to be in the internet age?
Not after Brexit. And this is where I think Bruce gets it right.
Yeah. Anyway, you sent me this. It was Bruce Dickinson. He's got a new video. He's got a new album. He's just this second finished the Iron Maiden tour. And he's got it already he's got a Bruce Dickinson solo album ready to go.
He doesn't mess.
Not only is it a solo album, it comes with a film. Yes.
Well, the video.
But it's more than a video. It's a film, essentially. A mini film,
we're going to disagree to disagree. It's a video.
Yeah, it's a video, yeah.
But this is for the new track he's dropped.
He's dropped it. We're down with the kids.
I am. Very much. Right, listen to this. That's an advert for Club Med. So don't worry about that. He's done this track.
This is what it's like on GB News.
It's a much slicker operation when I'm amongst the professionals. Right, here we go. So he's got a track. He's dropped a track called Rain on the Graves.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
I did. I watched it all the way through. Because Bruce does it. The reason I was referring to it as a film is that Bruce takes on a character, a persona. Acts his way through the video.
Do you remember the Fast Show?
I did.
And one of the characters was dressed as like a priest with a weird... Or he went on to be the priest in a show. I'm confused.
Yeah.
There was a Fast Show character who then starred in a drama about this priest who solves crimes.
Right.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
He's out here.
No.
Okay, well, that's what Bruce looks like.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Poirot.
Yeah, well, it's a sort of a crib on silent horror films, isn't it? Because he's mouthing the dialogue in a way that makes it clear that...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't get any of that. I'm looking at it now. I'm just seeing this black and white... Bruce dressed as
the
an
clue.
Old woman.
Black and white. Yeah, it's in black and white. Like, you get it?
I missed the subtext.
Yeah.
Well, this very long intro, it's about 2 minutes long, but sooner or later, I'm going to cut to it, you know. Oh, he's in a graveyard. Oh, here we go.
And here we go.
Rain on the Graves. It comes up like a movie. You're right. And then, important bit, remarkably fresh riff. I think I missed the chorus.
In a country cha-cha that came across a man. How does that sound on my microphone? You got it then,
see,
didn't
I'm
you?
Not
it
gay.
To come
Malcolm, I'm not gay, but
Malcolm,
I was
mate,
quite turned
was
on
you.
When you did
I
that.
I came up on a cha-cha. I saw a lovely man. He said his name was Malcolm.
Is this Tommy Steele? What are you doing?
No, I was doing Bruce.
That's Bruce, is it?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that is a turn up for the books.
No, I know that wasn't my... Malcolm, disregard that. Wasn't my proper singing. But anyway...
Are you worried, now what Malcolm...
Yeah.
He's not gay, by the way, but you have got a wonderful voice.
So, anyway... Anyway, yeah.
Starmy.
Yeah, so he's got you get the gist. This is his new thing.
Do you think he went to the shop to buy
that? But you know what has happened, don't you? I mean, obviously, given the proximity of the end of the recent Iron Maiden tour, it wasn't that long ago, was it?
No.
He's obviously been writing this on the tour.
He writes
probably while he was flying the plane, Because, you know,
and also authoring a book and practicing his fencing.
Yeah, he has to fly the plane. He has it. So he's leaning over his shoulder going, oh, I've thought of this. Oh, what's in that country? We're coming into land. Yeah, all that. So, and
now listen.
But I mean, this was so in the course of a week, we had these two facets of Bruce Dickinson. I thought, you know what, he's. And then this was the sort of the
you
third.
You thought he's a Renaissance man.
This was the third thing. I did. I mean, you had a gig this week. I had a little gig this week where I went along and spoke to the Eton College Journalism Society.
Did that Masonic meeting go?
It was a splendid. I have to say, it was a splendid evening.
And you remembered all the proper handshakes?
I remember the whole thing. Had dinner with the housemaster. And
did you have to drop the old strides?
Went into the chapel.
Did you?
All those
Is that a euphemism?
Things. No.
Come into the chapel.
No, carry on.
We're not gay, but...
Carry on up the chapel. Yeah, I did all that.
Chappell, a famous cricketer.
Well done.
He was Australian.
He was, yeah.
See, I know my fucking bat, ball and field.
Very good, very good. So So it was a kind of general talk. I mean, they wanted to talk actually mostly about bodybuilding and bodybuilders because they're all into that. And it's big. If you didn't know by now, it's big on TikTok. So my book that I wrote 20 years
Muscle.
Ago is now having a renaissance due to this. So
Amongst the kids, as we call them. Well, not gay anymore, it's non-binary.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know what you're talking about.
I'm old school binary.
Shut up and learn.
It got to, you know... I bowed to your greater expertise in the non-binary universe.
They sort of ask you, how did you get into journalism? I said, well, I actually, you know, I did 2 weeks work experience, you know, now called internships,
They went
2 weeks work experience on Kerrang, you know, and that was how I got...
Did you get paid for that?
No.
No,
God,
good,
no,
good.
No, definitely not.
No.
No.
I made sure of that.
But then it was all like, you know, what was the first gig you saw? And it was...
What, for Kerrang?
No,
oh,
ever.
Just ever.
Ever. And it was...
Teddy Bear's Picnic?
No, it was
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
It was Black Sabbath at the Hammersmith Odeon on the Heaven and Hell tour.
Ooh.
But obviously, Black Sabbath weren't the first band I saw, because the first band I saw were the support band.
Shaking Street.
What?
Weren't Shaking Street.
No, it was Samson.
Really?
Yeah, it was Samson.
The Heaven and Hell show?
Yeah. The Heaven and Hell tour, but this, and this might be slightly confusing. Well, I subsequently looked this up, not this week, but a while ago. There were two Heaven and Hell tours. The album did so well. Actually,
you went like in the February 81.
Yes,
because on the original one, they were the support group was Shaking Street.
Right, and I think by the time of the second tour, the support band was Samson.
Because by then they were one of the hot new wave.
Well, they were, but they'd had a tragedy. Samson, because Bruce, who was then known as Bruce,
which was hilarious,
who was their singer, and Bruce was only, I would say, the third most famous member of Samson.
Was Thunderstick
first most famous? Thank you. Most famous member was Thunderstick,
and
who
his,
was the drummer who would only ever wear a mask,
that's right.
And was on the cover of Sounds wearing the mask, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was a fantastic cover. Do you remember though, in before your time on Kerrang, but same era? Thunderstick had a bird.
Right.
No, they after he departed, amicable split.
Yeah, musical differences.
Musical differences. Yeah. He came back with a new musical act.
Project.
And it was him and a girl, and the girl was his girlfriend, and she was a singer. She was fucking gorgeous.
Right.
What if she'd played her cards right,
is that the end of this?
She could have had Tinder stick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's me, by the way.
Yeah.
Because I'm
Twinkie stick. That's what you would call Little stick.
Oh! Wow.
You could either have Thunder stick or you could have Little Mix stick. What one do you want?
Oh, wow.
Amazing. That was very good. Yeah, so Thunderstick was the most famous member of Samson. The second most famous member was obviously Paul Samson, who the band were named after.
Oh, clever. So his name was Samson.
And they
called the band Samson.
So then the singer, Bruce, was only the third most famous member of Samson.
Yeah. And not even really that. I mean, Bruce wasn't memorable, was it?
It wasn't memorable. And come the time they get the big break to support Black Sabbath at the Hammersmith Odeon, Bruce had bloody buggered off. The first singer I saw was Nicky Moore. Do you remember Nicky Moore, the big guy who took over? He took over from Bruce.
He ended up with John McCoy in Mammoth.
That's right, yeah.
Bloody great band.
Yeah, great band. I interviewed Mammoth. Can we guess who their PR was? I'll tell you. Maggie Farren, obviously.
That we should enlighten readers. Maggie Farren was one of that kind of say old school.
Yeah, you did exactly the same intro to Maggie Farren on the podcast about Tony Clarkin.
Did I?
She was also his PR.
Well, you know, we need to
recontextualise.
Yeah, because not everybody listening right now listened to that one.
If I was on it, they did.
Well, and if you were singing,
yeah,
not because they're gay.
What is it? You?
It's what Malcolm said. So, I'm not gay, but can you give me Little
on.
Johnny's number?
Carry on.
Nicky Moore, great voice.
So I went to Maggie Farren's. I went over to Maggie Farren's to interview Mammoth, and they insisted because you know they were and they'd managed to look, scour the musical universe and found two other fat blokes to be. So they had John McCoy on bass, who was fat. They had Nicky Moore on vocals, who was also fat. So they had to find a fat guitarist and a fat drummer.
Did they really do
that? Yeah. They did.
Did they put an advert in?
I don't know. I don't know how they did
fat
it.
Fat guitarist needed for a supergroup.
But their whole thing was...
Because John was in Gillan.
When I got over there to interview them, the whole thing is Maggie Farren has put out this table... And it's got two huge chocolate cakes on it.
Oh, see, that's a proper way to do things.
And while I was interviewing, they're cutting up these chocolate cakes and shoving them into their gobs. It was, I mean, just because they're called Mammoth, you know. I'm sure they didn't want to eat chocolate cake. But Maggie Farren's going, look, you better eat the chocolate cake because you're called Mammoth.
I think they probably did want to eat the. Did you have some of the chocolate cake?
No, I didn't. No. I mean, as you know, my body is a temple.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Temple of the dog.
Temple of rock. Like the cult worshipped at. Yeah. That was me.
Hey, I am the high priest of the Temple of Rock.
Yeah. Little mix stick. Yeah. That's you.
Don't fucking do this fucking little mix stick. Look, I'm not
You
gay.
Were the one that said it.
What?
When you were talking about thunder sticks, anyway. I'm opening air quotes, bird.
Oh, gosh, she was gorgeous.
Yeah, you said that, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can still remember.
Yeah. So anyway,
if she'd played her cards right.
Yeah, she could have had, et cetera, et cetera.
I might have extended the hand of friendship.
You might have done, yeah, as it was.
As it was, I interviewed her on the phone. It was like her and Thunderstick talking to him. Yeah, can you put the bird on now? Cheers.
Yeah.
Cheers. Hour later. Yeah. All right, darling.
No, you say goodbye first. No, you say it.
Yeah. I tell you what, you want to come down the marquee and see Dumpy's Rusty Nuts? I got a plus one. Oh, yeah, that's right. You come with me.
Yeah.
Leave Johnny Thunderstick at home.
Wasn't his name Barry Thunderstick? I'm pretty sure that's right.
Thunderstick.
No, I'm pretty sure his real name was Barry.
This is the guy who brought us Kirk Cobain.
I'm pretty sure.
Barry Thunderstick.
I think you'll find.
Barry Thunderstick.
No, he's not. Obviously, wasn't. His surname wasn't Thunderstick, obviously. In the same way that Bruce Dickinson's surname wasn't Bruce.
So,
That wasn't Bruce's real name.
Really? What was his real name then?
Well, we'll come on to that, shall we?
And there's the
youthful me at the Hammersmith Odeon watching Samson, first band I've ever seen. And you're about to say his name is Barry, aren't you?
His real name, it can be revealed for the first time anywhere on planet Earth. World exclusive.
The Thunderstick's real name.
Isn't Thunderstick. Amazing. Who knew? Yeah. Who fucking knew? His real name is Barry Graham.
There you go.
Perkis.
Okay.
Yeah. Then what was wrong with that? Barry Perkis on drums.
Barry Perkis!
Barry Perkis!
Yeah.
You wanted the rest. Kiss aren't here, but we got Barry Perkis.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
There you go. See?
Man.
So
Yeah, go on.
I narrowly missed the first person I ever saw sing live being Bruce Dickinson. Narrowly missed it because instead it was Nicky Moore.
Well, you know...
Because I think Bruce had departed Samson under the offer of replacing...
Paul Di'Anno.
Paul Di'Anno. But these gigs, if you said they were February 81, and I have no reason to doubt you, the Number of the Beast had not yet come out, had it? He must have been recording the Number of the Beast because it came out in the summer or the autumn, didn't it?
I know far too much about Iron Maiden's early discography, having written the official biography, which you can still obtain on Amazon, but I don't get any fucking money for. Cheers, lads. The first Maiden album came out in like March, April 80. Killers, the next one, came out probably around that February time.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you saw them on the Mob Rules.
Number of the Beast came out on in 81 as well, because it's the year.
No, it didn't. Came out 82.
Did it?
Yes.
Are you sure? Look it up.
Am I sure?
Yeah, are you sure?
Am I sure?
Number of the Beast.
Well, I don't know. I don't know much about Iron Maiden. Because whenever
people start going on about 1981 being the year of that everything happened.
Anybody talk about 1981 as the year that everything happened?
Because all these albums came out, you know, Back in Black.
80. You've got 80, 81 confusion. Don't fucking
tell
look
me when
on your...
Number of the Beast came out.
82, I just told you. Right.
Well, no, I definitely saw the Heaven and Hell tour because I also saw the Mob Rules tour. And in the Mob Rules tour, I was in the stalls, mate. The stalls at the Hammersmith Odeon.
All right, here we go, mate. Killers, the second Maiden album featuring Paul Di'Anno, was released on February the 2nd, 1981.
Just about the time I was watching Black Sabbath.
But apparently without Bruce. Number of the Beast was released 22nd of March 1982.
Yeah, so he must have been, just joining Maiden at that point.
What, in February 81?
Well, I don't know. When did he join? Di'Anno didn't last long after the Killers, did he?
I think there was one more world tour. Right.
But it must have been quite quick, because if the album was out in 82.
Oh, here we go. He let. This is an official source. It's called Wikipedia.
Oh, you're not looking in your book. You're not looking in the book.
It might take too long.
Okay.
I'd have to get it down from the, the shelf.
Yeah.
Yes. So he. I've lost it now. Hang on,
Mr. Iron Maiden.
He left Samson in 1981.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, but not the month Killers was released. Because I tell you what happened. They did Reading Festival that year.
Who did?
Bruce and Samson.
Right.
And that is where Maiden saw Smallwood and Steve Harris.
Saw Bruce. And they went,
so I think your
Bruce
whole story.
No,
so
you it's got bad.
You,
right.
you got memory. You
I've
got metal
it,
memory.
I've got it absolutely right. I'm telling you, Nicky Moore was. Bruce wasn't the singer, it was Nicky Moore.
Wow. Well, shall we just do a little check on that, shall we? You keep talking,
sigh.
Mate. You keep talking.
It was because I'm just trying to talk about Bruce Dickinson's early career.
Well, you know, unfortunately, if you get your facts wrong.
So, Samson did a couple of albums with him, didn't they?
Who? Nicky Moore?
No, Bruce Dickinson.
Hang on, I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
You are.
And you're going to have to do a grovelling apology.
Oh, I don't think I
do. You're going to have to do what I like to call a grovelling apology. Right, check this out. Samson's second album, Shock Tactics, was released on May 15, 1981.
Yeah.
It was actually recorded between the 2nd and 31st of January 1981.
Yeah.
Guess who the singer was?
Bruce.
Yeah.
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 But by the
time they can't have been out of...
Oh, well, whenever it fucking was. Nicky
Moore
was the
singer. Well, sort of not when you said that.
Oh, well, I don't care. It was at the Hammersmith Odeon.
I'll tell you when Nicky Moore joined, shall I?
When? Go on.
Well, you keep talking.
Maybe it was Bruce. I don't know. I always thought it was Nicky Moore. I don't know.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All I remember about the gig, that bit of the gig, was Samson had a song. Tell me I'm wrong about this. Samson had a song called Riding with the Angels, and it had a sing-along bit, and it went, Riding with the Angels.
Do you know who wrote that song?
No.
Your fucking mate, Russ Ballard.
See, it's a good song. There you go, you see. How do you know that?
Listen.
Because you're looking on Wikipedia.
No,
still.
I wrote the official biography of Iron Maiden.
Anyway, this song went, Riding with the Angels. And they stopped and, you know, the singer held the microphone out to the crowd. You know,
I've never seen that before.
It was either Nicky Moore or Bruce Dickinson at this stage.
I think it was Bruce Dickinson.
Might have been Bruce.
Riding
with the Angels.
Did the Angels.
Except reply came there none. Because back in the day...
Except what?
Reply came
the
there none. No, it was back in the day. This was what... Because I was my first ever gig, so I was still learning about the gig experience. And I'm there going, yeah, Riding with the Angels. But look around me, no one else is doing that. Because it was the support band. And when the support band were on, you just went like this. Arms folded.
Oh, you were one of those people.
Well, that was the whole arena was doing that.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it though?
And then Black Sabbath came on, excitingly enough. Guess what they started with? Bear in mind, Ronnie is the singer. Second Heaven and Hell Tour. What did they start with?
Neon Knights?
No, they didn't. See, everyone thinks that. They didn't. They started with War Pigs.
Did they?
Down.
How does that go?
Get the fuck. Did it? I'm being Bill now. Did it?
You don't know the words, do you?
Generals
fucking
gathered in their masses, and just like witches at black masses.
Was this after Donny Osmond joined the group?
Fuck off! That was Ronnie doing it.
Ronnie Osmond.
Yeah.
That was you doing Ronnie.
No, it was
sorry,
me.
Yes.
I was just. Yes. Everyone, I wasn't going to sing it because everyone knows how War Pigs goes.
Here we go. Samson's last gig with Bruce.
Yeah.
As I correctly recall, was at the Reading Festival.
Yeah, I was at that.
In the summer of 1981.
I was definitely at that. Was
so
that
no
the,
Nicky Moore.
Was that the year that Gillan was in Black Sabbath?
No,
it can't
that
be
was
that.
Another 2 years.
Yeah,
away.
That's I was at
you're
that
not
one.
Much of a historian.
I was at that one as well.
You sure you weren't?
It all goes into my
sure?
mind in one go.
Definitely goes into your mind in one go. Yeah. The band's last gig was at Reading Festival, August 1982.
Oh, the band's... You're saying the band's last gig?
With Dickinson. Oh, okay. After which Dickinson was approached by Iron Maiden.
Yeah. And what do you think it was? So Maiden had ditched Deano, who...
Dickinson auditioned for Maiden at a rehearsal room in Acme in September 1981.
Right, so Dickinson... Deano was always... Whenever you listen to people bore on now about how the first two Iron Maiden albums are the best, like Paul Elliott always does, they always go, oh, well, you know, it had this punk edge because it was the time of punk.
Yeah.
So were they getting rid of Deano to get a more traditional singer?
No. That whole punk thing was working for them at that moment because the new wave, clue in the name, new wave of British heavy metal, the shtick was they borrowed the best bits of punk, i.e. Independent released records, because that had never been done before in the rock sphere. Faster, cut out all the crap, all that kind of stuff. They didn't really cut out all the crap, but they certainly were faster, harder, and all that stuff. No, no, they got rid of Paul Di'Anno because he was a fucking toss bag, you know. Right. He was always pissed, always out of his head. Nothing wrong with that. But he was very theatrical. So, for instance, Steve Harris said to me, he goes, I got sick of it. We'd come off stage and he'd faint in the dressing room. No, I went, what?
Faint.
What? Every show. He goes, it was funny how he always fainted on a couch.
Yeah.
He never just sparked hit out the on floor. The floor with yeah. his head.
Yeah.
He goes, he'd be near the couch and say, oh. Because we'd be stepping over him going, oh, fucking get up, Paul. And then they had to cancel some shows because he fucked up his voice with all
right,
the
right.
champagne and flowers.
Yeah.
And also, he committed the unpardonable sin. I love this story. The first Maiden album came out and went straight in the charts at number 4. And it probably went down to number 20 the following week, but... You know, really
nonetheless, yeah. Good.
Sensational.
Number 4. It's pretty good.
I was working at Heavy Publicity at the time, and we had loads of rock bands. None of their fucking debut albums went in at number 4. Yeah. Are you joking? So they did. And so here comes Killers. Killers is the one that, you know, not just going to be big in Britain and Europe. They're going to go to America. They're going to go to Japan, you know. And it's all set. It's like teed up. They just need to do a good album. And I don't know if I can say the name, but there was a certain sounds journalist, female journalist. You could say female in those days.
Right.
And she was shagging Paul Di'Anno. Okay.
Right.
He used to wear these bullet belt, you know, that stuff they used to wear in those days.
What, are you talking about Paul Di'Anno or the
No,
well, journalist?
No, Paul Di'Anno.
Both of
things
them.
She used to like is she'd get him to take off his bullet belt and give her a good fucking thrashing.
Oh, really?
On yeah. the bottom.
That'd get her, you know, getting her reviews in on time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sure enough, Maiden were, you know, very, very highly praised in sales.
Yeah.
Anyway... Literally,
that journalist we can reveal was Jeff Buckner. That's just a joke, just a little joke.
Is it though,
that's
John?
All it is just a joke.
So literally, they've done the album, got the world tour plans. It's all fucking lovely, and literally, the week they were sending out, or a week or two before they were sending out the promo copies for the music papers to review, Di'Anno broke up with her. She reviewed Killers.
So you're now giving away her identity. I mean, I don't know who it is, but anyone can
well,
look
see,
up.
You don't know who it is.
Yeah, but you could look up the review of Killers.
I might be lying.
Okay.
I'm not lying.
Okay.
Remarkably, the album only got 2 stars.
Yeah.
She fucking ripped into it. Steve goes to me, he could have fucking packed her in after the review. He fucked it up. Because in those days, 4 major...
Oh, yeah, yeah, there was massive...
Enemy
sounds.
Wouldn't even review
no,
it.
No,
Melody Maker give it a
little they're not,
corner
not, they're not buying the punk thing. They're not
no,
saying this is the this
metal.
Is the heir to the Sex Pistols. They're
yeah,
not, they're
I mean,
not
saying
doing...
that punk and metal had had a bastard child.
Yeah.
To them was literally...
So what?
Offense. No, it's just offensive.
Yeah.
Punk wouldn't fuck metal. What are you talking about? Oh, yes, it would. So so it was like, you're fucking useless cunt, Di'Anno.
Yeah.
Sure enough, he wasn't around for the next 9 Maiden albums.
Yeah. So
I think he fainted at the news.
So they got rid of him for that.
Mm.
Yeah.
It wasn't that they went, oh, this guy's much better, let's get him.
No.
It
but
was
then,
let's
but,
get rid of him.
But Bruce, he was a lot more. I mean, whether the punk thing is a red herring or not. He was a lot more of a traditional metal singer than Di'Anno. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. He had long hair.
Yeah.
He was a huge Deep Purple fan. I mean, Samson were...
trad rock,
Well, yeah, they were more sort of Gillan. Running with the angels.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody.
Yeah.
Both of you.
Yeah.
In some pub in East London.
Yeah.
Yeah, so back to what you were saying about Bruce, seeing Sabbath.
So yeah. Bruce joins, immediately stops calling himself Bruce.
Also stops smoking dope, he told me.
Right.
Because he said Maiden suddenly realised, oh,
yeah,
this is big time.
This is but here's the other question I had for you. Is they're replacing Deano, who, you know, whatever you think about, was a kind of street guy.
He was great in Maiden.
Yeah, yeah. With a public school boy, someone who's from a completely different world. And
likes to do fencing.
Yeah, I wondered how that played into the whole dynamic.
Well, as I believe is widely known.
Well, I don't know it, do I?
Harry! Hang on, so let me contextualise.
Yes, that's what I'm looking for here.
On the one hand, you have Steve Harris from the East End of London.
Yeah.
Left school at 11 or whatever it was. Yeah.
Never went,
man. Yeah. He told me, he goes, we used to rehearse in his nan's front room.
Yeah.
The whole band.
Yeah. And his nan was trying to watch the telly.
No, the nan was fierce. You get the neighbours banging on the door. And please, you know, tell them to stop.
For the love of God, this mix of punk and heavy metal is not doing it for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the second album probably isn't going to be good one day, they said. So she was like, fuck off, I can't hear nothing. And they'd be like, you must be able to hear this.
Surely you can hear. Paul Deano is singing at 60,000 decibels.
But Steve Harris said, his nan used to say, I'm a bit mutton. Now fuck off. Cockney, Mutton and Jeff,
yeah, no,
Death.
I know that. Yeah, yeah.
Well, not every reader will. Yeah, okay. We have readers all over the world.
Oh, do we? Yeah.
I think you know that. With your many fans.
Yeah.
They all talk about you singing now. You know that. Yeah. I think maybe...
Well, I'm not surprised.
You see, if Bruce was to leave now...
Which let's face it.
I think you might have a spot.
Yeah.
Worth thinking about.
I'd do one tour, get enough money, you know, if I make a million or not, I'd just knock it on the head.
Well, John, there's a disconnect there.
I
because
would not sing White Men Came Across the Sea, because you can't sing that anymore.
Why not?
White Men Came.
Well, they did.
Across the Sea.
Well, it wasn't any
they
others.
They bought us pain and misery. They
is this Cary Grant? This is when Cary Grant was singing
with
Maiden.
They killed a creed, but will we ever be set free? Running through dust clouds and barren wastes, galloping hard on the plain. Something and something and something.
I had a request.
The only good engines are tame.
I thought it was the only good engines are dead.
You can't sing that anymore.
I thought it was only good engines are dead.
Can't
you said it was dead.
You can't call them Indians.
No, engines.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't do that anymore.
But that's what they called them back then. They didn't... Back in the cowboy days, they didn't go, oh, I think calling these savages Red Indians.
You're getting worse.
No,
I'm just saying.
Those days.
I'm just saying.
They didn't go, I think they are Native Americans.
My only point is, I will not be singing that lyric if I join the band.
Sidebar.
Yeah.
First time I did an interview with the Red Hot Chili Peppers, interviewing Anthony Kiedis.
Yeah.
This is after Mother's Milk, so they're not huge yet, but they're on the cusp.
Did you ask him to take his sock off?
It's already off.
Yeah, have a look at it.
I said, shall I take mine off too?
Yeah.
He said, that's a big sock.
Your little mix stick, yeah.
No,
yeah.
That's like a Santa Claus sock.
Yeah.
I went, don't be jealous. So we go...
Santa Claus sock.
More of a sack than a sock.
I wouldn't want to be your kids at Christmas. That's revolting.
Jeez. Hey, nature presents itself in many forms. What, my...
Your Santa's sack. Don't say that again.
Santa's sock.
Just get back.
On my cock.
Just get back to Anthony Kiedis.
So, I'm staying... You'll be quite surprised about this. I was staying at the Sunset Market.
No.
Poolside room.
Yeah.
Anthony comes in. I make him a cup of tea, you know. And we do all that. And then interviews finished, so he's got to now go to Ross's studio in LA, where the band are already getting ready for the photo session.
Yeah.
So Kiedis drives us. It's the shittest old jalopy you've ever seen in your life. It was really like, fucking hell, has he not made any money? Yeah. Nope, not yet. We get there, and they were so creative in areas most bands wouldn't bother with. So when they played the Astoria in London a few months before this, I went to the sort of sound check part of it, and they were physically repainting the stage.
Right, yeah.
So that when they came on, it fitted their vibe and all this. So this is who they probably still are, more so in those days. So they've decided for this photo session, they want to dress up as Injuns. Red Injuns.
Right.
Only that isn't what they call it, obviously. But so we get to the session, and Ross has never met Kiedis before. He's never met them before. And one sort of notable thing about Ross, when he's never met you before, he has to kind of put down his marker straight away. I'm the man who is going to mess with your mind. I will say the unsayable. So I'm in there going, oh, hi, guy. Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah. And Ross just bursts in, you know, with that horrible, angry face.
Yeah.
And he looks and he sees all the headdresses and the, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And he went, oh, Red Indians. And Kiedis goes, Native Americans, actually. Ross goes, that's what I said, Red Indians. So that got the session off to a good start.
A flying start.
I'm going to the store on the corner. I'll be back tomorrow. That's what I said. Red Indians.
So anyway, yes. Bruce.
Unavoidable.
Bruce, Bruce Dickinson, as now is. They put this album out. Native Americans and all.
So are you saying you couldn't tell the difference between Nicky Moore and Bruce?
In my memory, it was Nicky Moore, but the dates don't add up.
Are you saying Bruce was a big fat guy?
No,
what you're saying.
No, because Nicky Moore wasn't that fat till he was in Mammoth, and then he was fat. Then he was really fat.
So you're saying,
and you got to remember back
in Nicky Moore, Bruce confusion.
Back in the day, you know, when it's like during wartime, they would say someone was fat when they weren't what we would consider fat.
Right. Yeah. So good point.
I'm just saying, Nicky Moore and
could
Bruce,
easily they could easily have mistake been anybody. One or the other. A mistake and anybody could
until
have made.
Bruce joins Maiden and he starts wearing chainmail and, you know, Robin Hood style boots. Then I recognise him. Then I
and
recognize
he was just that crouch,
him.
Didn't he? Like a fencing crouch.
Yeah. Because Harry's got his foot. Yeah. Harry's doing his thing, which is foot on the monitor.
Yeah.
And still Bruce doing is doing it. His thing, which is that.
Yeah.
It's a bit like Ian Anderson would do. Ooh. And he was in Jethro Tull. He used to do all that.
Did he?
Yeah. Yeah. You watch sort of Jethro Tull.
John is striking poses there like Usain Bolt.
Yeah, I'm just
saying. You're saying Ian Anderson used to strike poses like Usain Bolt.
If you watch like films of Jethro Tull in the 70s,
films.
When Anderson looked like Aqualung. He looked like the tramp on the front of Aqualung.
Yes, but he didn't do all that.
He did. He used to have his flute and he used to be on one leg and he'd be like, his arms would be out and he'd be like, gurning.
Gurning, yes. One leg, yes.
Yeah,
but the arms would be playing the flute.
Well, no, but when he stopped the flute, he'd be like waving it around and jumping. And Bruce was a bit like that. That's all I'm saying.
Are you sure it wasn't Nicky Moore?
I'm not sure.
Anyway, so Bruce joins
Maiden.
Did they
do Riding with the Angels? Jethro Tull.
Riding with the Angels.
Let me bring you songs from the wood.
Riding with the Angels.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what
we're actually
like.
Doing. What makes it? We're actually doing,
we're doing
the flute
movements.
No one can
fingers.
See, but
yeah.
We are actually.
They're really good. Yeah.
On one leg. Yeah.
But Bruce, the point I'm getting across is like all of a sudden Bruce goes from being Bruce in Samson to being Bruce Dickinson. Massive album straight away.
White Man Come.
Yeah. And all of a sudden the kind of, you know, the public schoolboy is the face of new, you know, the new wave of British heavy metal.
Isn't it interesting, though? I mean, you mentioned that. So many heavy metal fans, I think now as then, I think especially back then, because metal had become sort of toxic in terms of it's not cool, a lot of their biggest fans were public schoolboys, very middle class guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I was working on that documentary, When Albums Ruled the World.
Yeah.
I won't say his name, but the guy was the head of BBC Four at the time. He was one of these guys, and he was so excited about the programme because he was like, will there be ELP? And we're like, fuck no. Yes, yes, there will.
Yeah.
Write that down quick. What about Genesis and King? Yeah. And the director, who was this much more working class guy like me, he's looking at me and he's giving me the eyes. And as we're leaving, he goes, can you believe all that shit? Because this guy, it's just because he was at public school.
Yeah.
Probably him and his fucking chums were there going, oh, Tarquin, have you heard the new Emerson, Lake and Palmer? They integrate moments of, you know, classical. Oh, let's listen, you know. So, you know.
Right. So that's that your...
Tarquin, yes.
That's your view of public school.
Well, when I first met Bruce, he was very much like, oh, Tarquin.
Was he?
No.
No, exactly.
He was posh, exactly. No, I didn't... So, Steve Harris... He's a geezer.
Yeah.
He's a
fucking, an Ebenezer.
He's an Ebenezer and he's a
Nico. They've got Nico by this point as well. Have they? No.
No.
When
you don't you? You literally don't know anything about Iron
They've
Man,
got Clive you? Burr at this point.
Yes. Everybody is completely working class in Iron Maiden at this point, apart from their new singer, Bruce Dickinson. And who went to Arundel? How do you say it?
Oondle.
See, you would know that.
Yeah, I would know
because
that.
You're a posh boy. You go to special posh boy meetings.
Yeah. There's a whole club.
You
do you not know about
whip
it?
Working class losers before before the meeting.
Yeah, I don't like losers.
I don't like working class.
Yeah,
that's what you say anyway. Yeah. I'm about the people. So here's Ari. Who's got loads of tattoos and is a hard nut. And here comes Bruce doing a fencing pose.
Yeah.
See, that's where the stage movements came from.
Yeah.
Because he'd do that, I'm going to stand up. He'd do that thing of, you know, imagine you've got your, what do you call it?
This is perfect for a podcast.
No, but he'd have the legs apart and he'd be like this, you know.
Mickey's now holding one arm out as if he's holding an epee.
That's a fence. What do they call it?
An epee.
A what?
An epee.
A what?
An epee. That's...
See, it's a, you posh people, you live a different life. I thought it was called a sword.
Yeah, you thought he was a beekeeper for 5 or 6 years when you saw the mask. What's he doing? He's got bees. Yeah.
So, guess what? Ari and Bruce the Bruce... We're never entirely best mates.
No, no.
In fact, they hated each other.
Bruce has I would describe Bruce's personality as, you know, he's a forthcoming person. He's not the kind of person who's unlikely to mention something that he's up to.
He's not
guarded.
He's not the guy lurking at the back of the room muttering.
No.
You know, those first few years when I knew them, so we're talking 84 till whenever Bruce left. Oh, my God. Bruce would talk to you, but he would talk at you.
Yeah.
In that kind of public school way.
He was set to output, as they say.
That's a brilliant description of what he was like. So he was one of those guys, he'd be talking to you, but he'd be sort of looking at the centre of your forehead like you're a cyclops.
Yeah.
Because he's not really... interested in you, he's just focused on whatever he's talking about, you know. And then as his radar would go over your shoulder a bit and he'd see someone else more interested, he'd literally just take off. Posh people do that.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Just, you literally, you cease to be visible.
Yeah.
Well, he was like that. And the other extreme, and you kind of go, oh, thank fuck for that. But the other extreme was, you know, once he cornered you, So the roadies had this thing where if Bruce had cornered them, they'd pull out a fiver and they'd sort of wave it behind his back. And the idea was someone would come along, take the fiver. Yeah. Oh, Bruce, that's so interesting. Tell me more. Yeah. So you were a fencer.
Yeah.
You used to fence in the dressing room to warm up.
Yeah.
Rock in Rio, I'm in the big old dressing room with the maiden, January 85. Bruce is, you know, what do they say? On guard.
Yeah.
On guard. He's doing all that.
Bloody
like,
hell.
Like, not shadow boxing, but shadow fencing.
Shadow fencing, yeah.
Like, go, 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 go. Yeah. Back again. Go, 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 go. On guard.
What's Harry's view of this? He's got a separate dressing room.
Well, he did soon after, yeah. I think once they became of a certain...
Level. Yeah.
But Harry had his own tour bus.
Wow, I didn't know that.
This is by Seventh Son, which is 88.
Yeah.
They're touring America. They've got two tour buses. Band on one. Harry on the other. In fairness, with wife and kids, he's already got a million little kids, you know. And the shtick was, well, no, because Steve likes the family with him and doesn't want to, you know, get in the way of the boys having fun. And
but
he
really,
didn't want, yeah.
But really?
Didn't want to listen to, they used to call him the chimp.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Because, like I probably said it before, because he looked a bit like Bill Oddie.
Yeah.
He was very kind of simian.
Yes.
With that long hair and the way he used to crouch.
Yeah.
That kind of Monty Python sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
He's the chimp, right? So here's a story I know I've told before, but I'm going to tell it one more time. The end of the, I think, Power Slave tour. They're coming back from Japan. And for a joke, because Steve wouldn't sit next to Bruce anywhere on a plane or a bus. He wouldn't do interviews with Bruce. He wanted nothing. He didn't want to be in his company. So it's the final show of this 13-month tour. And as a laugh, they persuade Tony Wiggins, the tour manager, his lovely tour. His previous gig had been Gilbert O'Sullivan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember.
He's to wear the cardigan and the slippers.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, chap. Fuck off, Tony! You know, come on, Tony. Oh, come on, Tony. Be a laugh. They seated Bruce next to Steve on the plane. 13 hours from Tokyo to London. Harris is like, the fucking steam is coming out of his ears. He can't believe it. Of course, Bruce is like, oh, Steve, we don't often get a chance to
catch up. Yeah, I've got so much to tell you.
Did you know I fence?
I don't know if I can get it all into 13 hours.
As soon as the plane takes off, and in those days before 9/11, and
you could just get up. Yeah.
Literally, you've hardly left the tarmac, and the seatbelt sign would go. Everybody would be lighting cigarettes and running around.
Yeah.
Harris literally flings off the seatbelt, storms down the back of the plane to where Tony Wiggins is sitting, because he's not in first class. They're in first class.
Yeah.
Oi! Wiggins, oh. Yes, Steve. Who put me next to the fucking chimp? Tony went, oh, I'm terribly sorry. You know, the rest of the band. He goes, right, you fucking sit next to him. So he made Tony go down to first class and sit next to Bruce. Steve went, oh, I'm all right here. Mate. I'd rather sit here in economy than sit next to fucking a chimp. So there was a bit of a culture clash.
Well, I suppose what I was going to ask, the other relationship I was interested in is I was sort of seeing made a bit like a three-legged stool. You've got Harry, you've got Bruce. Mm. There's all the guitarists and the drummer and the rest of it, but you don't need to worry about that. And then you've got Rod.
The manager.
And
Rod Smallwood.
You know, and all.
Who was legendarily known in those days as Rod Small Wallet.
Exactly, yeah. So,
not because you were mean.
The sort of three-way relationship between Bruce, Steve and Rod always seemed quite key to me and quite interesting.
It was a bit like the three-way relationship between Jimmy Page, Peter Grant and Robert Plant.
Right.
So, in other words, Jimmy Page, Peter Grant and what's he still doing here?
Yeah.
That was the deal with Rod. I mean, Rod was a smart guy. He'd make sure he looked after everyone. He knew you didn't mess with that formula, that chemistry, whatever you call it. But Peter Grant once said, he told everybody that worked for Zeppelin, the deal is this. If the ship is going down, you make sure Jimmy's in a lifeboat. The rest can fuck themselves.
Wow.
Now, I'm not saying Rod ever said that to anybody.
No, no.
But it was very, very clear. This is Steve Harris's band. We've had singers, and quite rightly, we'll have more. As long as Steve is here, we've got a band, we've got an identity, we've got something going. Now, obviously, by the mid-90s, that theory came unstuck a bit when Bruce did finally leave. But that was the mid-90s. You know,
yeah,
grunge,
it wasn't the era of Iron Maiden. Yeah.
I think they'd have suffered just as badly if Bruce hadn't gone.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It might have been worse because Bruce wanted to explore the grunge area.
He did. Of course he did.
I mean, this new track, Rain on the Grave,
yeah,
that's got Roy Z on guitar, who was his guitarist back in those days.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
And I quite like the album they did together. But there were bits where it's sort of almost like like metal Santana.
Right, right.
Beautiful playing, but it was very far removed from Maiden. He did Skunk Works.
I remember Skunk Works, yeah.
Well, I was working, helping do his PR in the mid-90s, and you couldn't give him away.
Yeah.
Because the grunge people, the actual music probably would have been okay for them, but it's made by Bruce Dickinson.
Exactly, there's all the non-grunge grungers, the trap they fell into. People didn't want to hear it from, you know, people who weren't the grunge, you know, the grungers.
They'd have loved it if they hadn't changed at all and just stuck to their guns.
The only person who got away with it, Scott Weiland.
Why, what group would he been in before?
Well, I don't know if he was in a group. I mean, he wasn't very grunge, was he?
Oh, I see what you mean. Well,
I mean, he couldn't wait. The minute they got famous, like dressed up like David Bowie.
Yeah, but all those grunge guys were like that. I mean, Kurt Cobain always described Nirvana as a cross between the Beatles and Black Sabbath.
Yeah, but no one believed that.
I did.
It was just Black Sabbath.
I think you're being very harsh.
You're fine.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're fine, Mick.
I'm sure Reed
Riding is with the Angels.
Riding with the Angels.
There it is.
I'm doing my finger. Did you see that? It lends itself, doesn't
it? The only ever co-write between Russ Ballard and Paul Sampson.
No, it's just written by Russ.
Oh, just Russ. Oh, they. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Da-na-na, da-na,
I can't imagine.
Da-na-na.
They must have changed the lyrics. They must have changed the lyrics or something. I get same old dreams
every night.
Same time every night. Fall to the ground and I wake up.
You know all the words, don't you? I think you.
You know what? You know what doesn't come next? There's a red Indian lying next to me. That does not come next.
Yeah, but if you were. If you were making a movie about those days, you know, you got the old whiskery guy going, I'm going to kill you. Come on, he's going to whack me. He's not going to go, I'm going to get myself a Native American, is he? I'm going to kill them Indians. Try and scalp me, you whiskey savages.
I think that's your most convincing role, yeah.
Anyway, so what do we think of Bruce as an artiste? I mean, that's what this is building to.
What is, because he's got his new album out. Well, I mean, I think he's a, I think he's a Renaissance man, as they say.
Rain. At this point, he's dressed like in a red
Undertaker waistcoat.
Oh,
yeah, he looks like Steve Perry. He's got the red ringmaster's coat. Where is the one someone
I was gonna say,
who's
like
happy?
like if Adam
like
Ant had a grandfather.
Between, yeah.
Like
sort of cross.
Not Prince Charming so much as, you know... Queen Mother Charming.
Yeah, he's like a cross between Adam Ant and Steve Perry. That's what he's advise you to check that out because it's a good look.
I think the look is very much
very strong.
Steve Perry meets Adam Ant.
Yeah.
But I think the voice is clearly Nicky Moore.
Remains unique. Yeah.
Oh,
well, you always know it's Bruce, don't you? Because it's got that... You heard it then when he hits that upper note. It's
rain almost, on the grave.
Yeah, it's that. It's that.
Yeah,
that's
it's
Bruce.
Beautiful thing. Now, there are far more stories we'd like to tell, but I feel we have a part two coming on because don't forget, Bruce was an author.
Oh, he was. Yeah.
Guess who got him his publishing deal?
Oh, was it you?
Mm.
Oh, well done.
Yeah,
thanks.
They never forgave me for that.
Yeah, I bet, yeah.
Do you know how that happened?
No, you're going to do it on the next one.
Oh, am I?
Yes.
Oh, all right, okay. So, on that
bombshell. Bruce Part 2 coming soon. Can't wait. Riding with the Angels.
Riding with the Angels.
Yeah.
And what was it? White men came across the sea. He came to see Roy Z.
You said that, not me.
No, I think you'll find. Yeah. Right, so listen, this has been instructive.
It's been real.
It's been real, and yeah. I'd like to thank Bayer Dynamic for helping
That's
us.
That's the worst. I apologise to Bayer Dynamic for that, because that was appalling.
Seamless.
Appalling.
Seamless. And on that bombshell, we wish you
adieu.
A very merry
adieu.
Adieu.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How do I stop this, Fern?